good evening, church. I think it's quite obvious that I'm not Jessica or Kelly. If it isn't, then I need to question something that I'm doing here. But my name's Justin, and I get the awesome privilege of serving on our Elevate Youth team. You see, every Friday we get to give, we get to serve, we get to witness, and we just get to be around young people. I don't think there's anything more rewarding than that, well, for me at least. So much so that my job is actually at school. I'm a teacher. And a couple of months ago, I got a new job at a new school in a position that I was really praying for so long. You see, not only am I a teacher, but I'm a mad lover of sport. And I got to marry the two, and it was so great. I got to put sport and teaching together, and I get to coordinate high school or school sport at the school that I'm at. Do you know, for so long, I was praying for this job. And all the excitement that came with it was great. And I was looking forward to it. I rocked up on my first day full of excitement, full of energy, full of, you know what, I'm going to make a difference in this job. And the first day was great. And the second day was great. And probably a couple of weeks after that were great too. But then all of a sudden, with that excitement came this very overwhelming feeling. Overwhelmed by the fact that I was now someone's boss. As scary as that is, I was someone's boss. Someone had to report to me. And you know why it was overwhelming was because all the people that had to report to me were all older than me. Not only older, but more experienced, more wise. They've done this for longer. They know what they're doing. And here am I, fresh out of thinking that I had this all together, just stepping in and saying, I'm now in control. Overwhelming, feeling like I didn't have it all together for whatever reason, all of a sudden. You see, sometimes that happens to all of us. For me, I felt overwhelmed because I was young and I allowed my youth to keep me back from stepping into everything that God's called me to. Like I said, I'd been praying for this job for a really, really long time. And God answered. And how often do we do this? We pray, we pray, we pray, and God answers, and all of a sudden we go, no, God, not for me anymore. I'm so scared now. I don't know why I prayed for this, but God, not for me. Please take this away. So often we do this. Maybe for you, though, it's not your age. Maybe for you, it could be that you're too young or you're too old. Maybe you're not from the right family. Maybe you didn't go to the right school, the right university. Maybe you don't have enough experience. Maybe you don't have the right speaking ability. I don't know what it could be for you. Maybe your past has kept you in the past and it hasn't allowed you to step into what God's called you to. I don't know. But you know, in one of those moments, just feeling so overcome and so overwhelmed, God just reminded me of something. You see, people, I made myself believe that people were looking down at me because I was young. And in a moment, God spoke when I was feeling so sorry for myself, so ready to give up, so like, oh, why? Like, I'm just having the worst time, and God spoke. How often does God speak in a moment? And Stephen spoke about that this morning, in a moment. And in one of those moments of feeling so sorry for myself, God said, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. You see, 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 came alive to me. I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling like I wasn't good enough because of my age. And truth be told, I'm 26. I'm not that young anymore compared to some of the people that I get to work with. I might not be very old, but I'm definitely not young. And I kept blaming myself for that. No, but you're old enough. Surely you had this. This is what you wanted. God answered. Now, why are you messing this thing up, Justin? Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Now, you see, just some context around this verse. Paul, the great apostle that wrote most of the New Testament, was writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy had been mentored by Paul through his formative years for a long time. And then, all of a sudden, it was Timothy's turn to go at it alone now. Paul was like, cool, you got this. Go and plant a church. Go and help the people where you're going. You can go alone. I believe you. You've done all the learning. Now's your time. I've done all the learning. Now's my time. And it's no wonder that Paul wrote this letter. I can only imagine that Paul was going, I've been through this process before. Timothy, you're young, you have all the exuberance, you have all the energy, you have all the passion, but I know that it's not always going to be easy, especially now at the start. You see, he had gone through that already. Isn't that what mentors do? They go through and then they advise afterwards. And then he wrote this letter to Paul, to Timothy. You see, just like I wasn't feeling good enough, Timothy wasn't either. Timothy was scared of what he had to do. He was overwhelmed by the circumstances that he found himself in. Inexperienced, unqualified. Yeah. And into those very feelings, Paul spoke. Yeah. And for me, into those very feelings, God spoke. You see, God is so good at saying the right thing at the right time. It was exactly what I needed. Truth be told, I probably haven't told anyone this, but I was probably close to giving up, probably close to going, you know what, I'm just going to let my age, in my mind at least, let my age cripple me. Let my age hold me back. I'll keep using it as a crutch to limp through what I needed to do. I wasn't ready to allow God to use me fully to influence where I was supposed to be influencing. You see, I'd been given the territory. I just needed to step into the influence. But I was stopping. I was holding myself back. And this challenged me so much. I don't even know why it challenged me, but it challenged me so much. God spoke in that moment, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. For that moment and the moments to follow, the scripture really came alive to me. And it came alive to me for a different reason, because so often I can go, I'm Timothy, the young one, the inexperienced one, the one that needs the help from Paul. But then God also just highlighted to me how so often we use that scripture and we overlook Paul completely. We forget about Paul. We forget about the role that Paul played. You see, to the older, more wise people in this house tonight, thank you that you are Paul to us. Thank you that you are the ones that have gone before, that you've stepped ahead, that you are now pulling us with you. Thank you that we get to stand on stage as Elevate Youth Ministry because of the sowing, the serving that you've done before us. We are so grateful. Sometimes you don't even realize because you don't see us, but we are so grateful for all that you've deposited before. We get to reap the benefit of your sowing, and we are so, so grateful. Thank you for being Paul. If you don't feel like Paul, trust me, you are. The many words that you might have spoken in passing, might have conversations you might have had, the insignificant amount of time that you think you could have put in, that's all made a huge difference. It set us up to be here where we are today. Now to the Timothys. Now just remember, I said Timothy was someone that was young. Timothy was young. I am young. But whatever your thing is that is keeping you back, you are still a Timothy. There's still something that is stopping you from influencing the way God has called you to influence. You see, now is your time. This is our time. Don't wait until you're older, until you have more qualifications, until you have it all together, until God's ready to use. No, God's ready to use you right now. Now is your time. You don't have to go to university to have a degree in communication. No, God wants to use you where you are. Your high school is the perfect breeding ground for you to go and stand up and influence people. And you see, I was so challenged by this because why have I allowed that crutch to stay in my life? You see, if we keep using our thing, I'll call it a thing, for me it was my youth, if we keep using our thing to stop us, we'll keep stopping ourselves from being influencers like God's calling us to be. You see, the verse goes on to say, it says, do not let anyone think less of you because you're young, but be an example, be an influence to those around you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Be an influencer to those around you. Don't let your thing stop you. I'll go as far as to say, don't let your thing come with you to your new place. Some stuff, when we move house, we need to leave at our old house. We actually need to throw it away. As you step into your new thing, don't let your old things keep you back. And it doesn't just matter for us, as crazy as that seems. It's not just for me. Yes, it is for me, but it's not only for me. I'd hate to think how many other people would be missing out on an opportunity to come to know God because I was walking around with my crutch. I wonder how many other people would be missing out on an opportunity to meet God and come to know God because I was using my excuse of being too young to stop me from influencing the world around me. You see, as much as it's about me, it's not always only about me. At Elevate, we believe that everyone is welcome. And because everyone is welcome, I have a responsibility to make everyone know that they can come here. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Again, fill in your own thing. But be an example. Be an influence in what you say, in the way you live, your love, your faith, and your purity. My question tonight to all of us is, what can we do? Who can we bring? What can we let go of and leave at the door? And someone that I've seen grow up in since I served at Epic years and years ago, she's done that, just that. She's literally let go of her crutches. Literally. So why don't we give it up for Jessica?
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, everyone. Are we all doing good this evening? I'm great. Yes, it's Sunday. Reality is hitting. Tomorrow's Monday. We're back to school, you know, back to work. But is this not just the greatest place to end off our weekend, start a new week? Is Elevate Takeover not just the greatest thing? I mean, I'm really loving what is happening here tonight. And as Justin said, it's crazy that you said that verse. I just thought tonight really epitomizes that verse. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. I really think that Elevate is absolutely owning it here tonight and that God is definitely here. So hello, my name is Jessica. I go to Adrian High School and I'm in grade 11. But I just want to take a moment to thank the leadership of our church for giving us this opportunity. Yeah, it's such a privilege to be able to be and to be able to bring God's word to you guys tonight. But before I start, I would just like to pray. So if you could bow our heads. Father, we come before you this evening and we just thank you for what you're doing here and what you're going to do here. Father God, I don't stand here as Jessica Murray, but I stand here as merely the vessel on which your word is carried tonight. I ask that you open the hearts and soften the hearts of the people here today, and that your word falls on receptive hearts. We ask this in your name. Amen. Awesome. So we don't have much time this evening, so I want to jump straight into the word. So if you have your Bibles here tonight, we can turn to the book of James. Cool. So I love the book of James because it's very practical. It's quite short. If you don't know where to start reading, I think James is an awesome place to start. And that's Bible Tips 101 from Jessica. So James 1 verse 2 to 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." In verse 12, it carries on and it says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." So we see in those verses, James talks about the test and he talks about the blessing. And that's the title of my message this evening, The Test and the Blessing. What do you do when your faith is tested? And I want to point out that I did say when, and it actually wasn't me that said that. James said that when troubles come your way, not if troubles come your way, because we as Christians will face troubles. It's inevitable. So when we think of someone being tested, it never sounds like a good thing, okay? So we have matrix in the house writing finals. I'm pretty sure most of us are writing end of year exams. But when we think of someone being tested, we think of like, some people get really bad anxiety and stress that they study so hard. They get into the exam and they can go completely blank. Or we get those really irritating people that can just read over the work and then they know it. Or there's people that can just cram the night before and they actually remember the work. So it left me thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we could just cram for when our faith is tested? Like if God gave us a heads up, like, hey, listen, your dad's going to be retrenched in a few months, or if you're working in this house, you're going to be retrenched. So maybe don't go out too many times this month, or don't spend as much money on clothes. You know, just save up so that you can be ready for that test. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work like that. A lot of times, the test of our faith comes without warning. The King James version of the scripture actually says, when you fall into tests of our faith. And I'm sure many of us can relate to that. We just feel as though we are falling and falling and falling into tests of our faith. And tests come in many different ways. I'm sure we can think of a few. They can be big or small. They can be ongoing. I mean, like we hear of people that say, you know how long I've been going through this? Or a test can be something that just happens in one day. It can come in many forms. It can be in the form of a difficult situation or a health crisis. Or it can even come in the form of a person. And if your test is sitting next to you tonight, just keep looking at me. We can get through this. But that is what I want to talk about this evening. How can we pass the test of our faith? What are we supposed to do when our faith is tested? I'm sure we're familiar with the story of how Abraham's faith was tested. And we read this in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 2. "Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. 'Abraham,' God called. 'Yes,' he replied. 'Here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of those mountains, which I will show you.' Now, when we read the story, Abraham's faith seems so easy to him. Like his obedience was just seemed so easy to him. Like sacrificing your children was like the norm in that day, you know? It says as we carry on in verse 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. So yes, Abraham got up bright and early. He saddled his donkey and wasted absolutely no time. We never really read about it, but surely Abraham must have gone to bed that night, tossing and turning, thinking, why? Like, why, God? Why are you asking me to do this? I waited so long for my son, and now you want me to sacrifice him? But instead, Abraham trusts God and trusts that God has a bigger plan. So what can we do when our faith is tested? Trust God. Trust that God will pull through. We may not always understand why he's doing the things that he's doing, but he sees the bigger picture. Know that God has your back and always wants what is best for you, but in his time. And that is exactly what Abraham was doing. So my faith was tested a lot this year. A little background. At Christmas last year, I was told that I needed surgery on both my hips. And as a dancer, that's the last thing you want to hear. And during those holidays, I had time to sort of just let that sink in. It wasn't a matter of, okay, I can decide whether it's happening. It was happening. And obviously, I had thoughts of like, why? Like, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Much like Abraham must have thought, like, why God? Why am I sacrificing my son that I waited so long for? So I had the first surgery at the beginning of Jan this year. I was on crutches for just under 4 months, intense physio for 2, and then back for the second op in June. So as you can imagine, by then I was over it. Like I had to go through this once. I didn't want to go through it again. And it was a massive test of my faith. I mean, we would write on those prayer cards week in and week out. I would have the elders pray for me in the front. I feel like I would ask anyone and everyone to pray for me because I wasn't going in for that second op. And everyone would just say to me, you know, God is going to use this. But my thoughts were, how? How is God going to use hip surgery of all things? I mean, we don't read in the Bible of like David having hip surgery and then like God using him, you know? And I mean, if he was going to use a surgery, surely like one was enough. Like he can use one. But when I realized the healing that I wanted, so the healing of not having to go in for the second op wasn't happening, I trusted in God. John 13 verse 7 says, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. So step one, just trust that God knows what he's doing. Step two is to praise God. Now that may sound crazy, as it did to me. If someone told me to praise God while I was about to go in for surgery, I'd probably give them the dirtiest look. How can you tell me to praise someone that's making me go through all of this? And I'm sure we can all relate to that sort of feeling. But there is always something to praise him for. Don't get consumed by that one situation. So an example of this, I went to Canal Walk after my surgery in a wheelchair. Yes, trust Jessica to have surgery and they want to go shopping. Anyway, so I went and I was being pushed, you know. And I was feeling sorry for myself because people were looking at me and then they would talk and then look at me and then whisper. And I was feeling sorry for myself until I saw someone in a wheelchair with no legs. And that may sound very dramatic to you, I know, but there's always something to be thankful for, even in your terrible situations. As we carry on reading about Abraham, though, he goes onto the land of Moriah as God instructed him to. Abraham builds an altar and arranges the wood on it and then ties his son to it. So we read in verse 10 onwards, and Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. In verse 16, it continues and says, this is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. As I end, I want to go back to one of those verses that I read to you in the beginning, and it was James 1 verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. God is saying that he will bless you. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give you life and life to the full. God only wants what is best for your life. He will never put you through something for nothing or something that will break you. I'm now a walking example of that. If I didn't go through those two surgeries, walking, you know. If I didn't go through those surgeries, my faith and my relationship with God would have probably always stayed lukewarm. If you would just trust God, trials won't break you. They will bless you. Because every test God promises will end in a triumph. Thank you. I'm very excited to welcome the next person who's not just an incredible woman of God, but an incredible youth leader and mentor, my church mom, Kelly.
Awesome. Can we give it up again for Jess and Justin? That was absolutely incredible. So like Jess said, if we haven't met yet, my name is Kelly, and I firstly want to say that myself and my husband serve alongside an incredible team and youth every single Friday night, and we honestly feel like the proudest parents today, as they literally owned the entire day. We didn't really have to step in. We didn't have to really own anything. They owned it. Not just our team, but teenagers. Guys, that is owning, those who are owning the service. So can we give it up for them? It's absolutely incredible. And once again, I know you can never honor too much, and we give honor where honor is due to our leadership team of the church. We really want to thank you guys for giving us this opportunity. We wouldn't be up here. We wouldn't have this stage to speak on. We wouldn't have this church to serve in if it wasn't for what you guys set up for us. So thank you, Pastor Pedro, Bobby, Daniel, everyone on the leadership team. Can we give it up for them? So it's such an honor for me to be able to stand on the stage and share with you tonight just a part of my journey. So I'm not going to share a lot about me at the beginning. I'm going to kind of just dive straight in. We have a little bit of time together, but it is an honor, and it's something that God has done in me. It's a bit of my journey and what God spoke to me through this time. So we're going to jump straight in. If you have your Bibles here, which would be wonderful if you do. If you don't, the verse will come up on the screens. We're going to read out of Luke 10. You've probably heard this story many times before, but I'm going to give it a little quick read, and then I'll speak out of that. So Luke 10, 38 to 42, it's on the screen, it's wonderful. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So before we go any further, I'm going to give you a little bit of something about me. I love to be busy. If you work alongside me at church, or if you've served alongside me or served close with me, you will know that I love to get stuff done. I love to be busy and do stuff, and to-do lists are really my thing. I love to tick stuff off to-do lists, so I literally will, I might sound crazy, write everything down, most people know, so I can tick it off and kind of feel like, okay, I've achieved something, like got something done, so all the overachievers in the house will understand me. And obviously, being busy and getting stuff done is not a bad thing, so don't get me wrong, it's not bad. But I know for me, because of this part of my personality, I struggle just to stop. I struggle just to be, because I kind of want to keep like doing all the time. It's about the do, instead of just stopping sometimes. And I think this is a mindset we have sometimes where the more we do, the better we're doing. Does anyone ever feel that way? Where the more we're doing, the better we're doing as people. Like that's who we are. But I think the world has definitely set this trend for us. It's so fast-paced. It's getting everything done. It's fiber internet. It's microwave meals. It's internet banking. It's go, go, go all the time. That's what the world has set for us. And I think because of this, we kind of have this mindset with Jesus sometimes. That the more we do, the closer we're going to get to him. The more we do, the more he's going to love us. I don't know if anyone else has ever felt that way, but I know I have. That, okay, I've got to do this, because Jesus will love me more then. Or I'll get closer to him the more I do for him. And I think Martha found herself in a very similar position. She was all about the do, which isn't wrong. Doing isn't wrong. But it's when you put that in place of just being. Work has to be done. We know that work has to be done. But it says that she let Jesus into her home. She welcomed him in, but she kind of neglected and left her guest aside. So she brought him in and welcomed him, but then didn't really make him feel welcome when he was there. So the verse says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She was distracted. Like I said, she neglected that Jesus, not like random person, like Jesus was in her home. So she didn't absorb his presence. She missed the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet to absorb his presence because she was busy doing things. She blurred the lines between being and doing, or the importance of being before doing. She was so focused on what she was doing that she lost sight of who she was actually doing it for. So as most of you know, I recently became a mom, and this season is crazy. It's a season where you have to try find balance and try work things out, like where's this going to fit, what am I going to do? And I literally came back from maternity leave on Wednesday, so when I say I like being busy, that's evidence of that. So 4 months ago, we had an incredible baby boy called Cooper. He's absolutely beautiful, and he's our biggest blessing. So as I continue with the story, keep that in mind, he is our biggest blessing. But also, like I said, you'll understand now. Like I said, I like being busy and getting stuff done. So this season consists of a lot of busyness. There's a lot of busy, but there's not necessarily a lot of getting stuff done or getting the normal stuff done. It's very, very different. And there's definitely not a lot of ticking off my to-do list. Doesn't happen in this season right now. So I started to feel a little bit unproductive, but not just unproductive with work stuff, but actually unproductive with my relationship with God, because I couldn't do things the way I used to. In all fairness, there's nothing wrong with being busy, but the problem happens when our doing replaces our being. And for me, my being, my relationship with God began to take a knock because I was getting so frustrated that, like I said, I couldn't do things the way I used to. I couldn't spend time with God the same way I used to. Things had to change, but I was like getting so frustrated with it because I was like, no, but it needs to be done. Like, I've got to do something. But you notice how it is sometimes where you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to spend time with God. The right worship song has to be playing. Like, it's a perfect time creating the environment for me. I must have my right highlighter color and a good pen to write with. Must write everything down. And the environment and the scenario has to be perfect, has to be peaceful. Having a newborn, the scenario is not peaceful. And I realize it's not going to be peaceful for a very long time. But I kept focusing on the way of doing things, which meant I stopped losing sight of why I was doing those things. So I kept focusing on the way and forgot the why. It felt like there was distance growing in my relationship with God. So what was my immediate response? I honestly wish I could stand here tonight and end by saying my immediate response was, I'm going to be at Jesus' feet. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. I'm going to spend more time with him. But to be honest, my immediate response was, I'm going to do more. I'm going to get more involved in ministry. I'm on maternity leave, but I'm going to serve wherever I can serve still because I need to do. That was my immediate response. And that is, in my mind, the Martha method. But that's not what God's wanting from us. That's not what he's asking us to do. And like Jesus says in the verse, but few things are needed, indeed only one. And he's not saying doing. That's not what he's speaking about. He's not saying we need to do more. He's speaking about being. We need to put the being before the doing. We need to be a bit more like Mary in this situation. And I know you might be sitting here going, cool, Kelly, like you're telling me to be more like Mary. You're telling me to be at Jesus' feet. But how do I actually do that? Like, practically, how can I do that? Life is busy. But one thing, I think if we take this into account, it can shift our perspective and shift how we do things. If we acknowledge that the love of God is given and not gained. The love of God is given and not gained. We can get into such a rut of trying to gain his love. So we try work for it, sometimes unintentionally, but we're like, hey, we're going to do more so we can get closer to Jesus. And it just gives me the image of like a ladder. But okay, I've done more and I'm taking one more step closer to Jesus. I've done something else and taking one more step closer to Jesus. That's such a flawed way of thinking. And most of us, if not all of us, have been there one time or another where we're trying to do more because that's what Jesus wants from us. That's going to get us closer to him. But I mean, if you literally look at the story, like look at the literal story I just read, who was closer to Jesus? There was Mary who was sitting at Jesus' feet, literally completely absorbing his presence. Or there was Martha who had separated herself from God's presence and was in the kitchen doing things. She had separated herself. And like I said, doing is not wrong. But in that situation, why would you not want to be at Jesus' feet? Why would you not just want to be? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't do things. I'm not saying don't serve. I'm saying serve. And on a side note, if you have not done Growth Track and you're not involved in serving, I want to encourage you to do Growth Track. Serving is incredible. But that was just a little bit of a side nugget there. But I think we become most effective when we serve out of a place of being, when we do out of a place of being first, when we find the balance between Mary and Martha. We serve Jesus well when we serve from a place where we know we have been given his love and there's nothing we can do to gain it. We don't even deserve it. And there's nothing we can do. He cannot love us any more or any less than he already does. And that is unconditional love. And I think for me, becoming a new mom has made me realize a lot. It's made me realize that sometimes I literally have to walk in circles around my house, rocking Cooper to sleep because he won't go to sleep. Or I have to sit on the couch in the most uncomfortable position while he comfortably sleeps on me, because now he's comfortable and he's sleeping, so it's great. But also, I sometimes just sit and stare at him while he sleeps. I've become that mom. Never thought I'd be that mom that stares at my child and sounds really creepy. But I do. I sometimes just stare at him. But I can tell you the best moment is when he turns to me with big eyes and a wide smile and that completely acknowledges my presence. He knows that I'm there. And it doesn't matter if 5 minutes before that he was completely screaming at me and kicking me. That moment makes it all worth it. And you feel so much love in that moment. And for me, those moments reminded me so much of God. That God wants those moments with us where we completely acknowledge his presence. We completely absorb who he is to us. He is literally sitting, waiting for us to turn our eyes to him. It's that simple. He's waiting for us to look to him. But not to gain approval. Not to try to earn his love, but because of the love he has for us. We need to keep this love alive, though. But we don't keep this love alive by trying to impress Jesus. We keep this love alive by sitting at his feet, by being with him. That's how we keep it alive. God has already given us his love. There's nothing we can do to gain it. Before we even get an opportunity to ever try to gain it, God has already given it to us. When we know this and when we live out of that place, then when we serve, whatever we do, we are doing it out of a place knowing God loves us. We're doing it out of his love, not out of obligation or out of trying to get approval. We're doing it because he loves us, and that's a place we need to serve from. That's a place we need to do from. So you may be sitting here tonight thinking, I'm in this position. This is where I am, where my relationship with God, it's become a lot about doing. It's become a lot of do focus. Like, what can I do, Jesus? What can I do? You might feel like you're running your Christian walk the Martha way, the doing way. I want you tonight to just think, what is one thing I should change so I can be at Jesus' feet? Just what is one thing you should change and commit to that one thing? Even just this week, commit to that one thing. And if there's something else, next week you add that. But commit to that one thing. Commit to being before doing. We're not saying eliminate doing, but we're saying commit to being before doing. I want to encourage you to serve from a place knowing that you have God's love. That God has already given you his love. You don't need to gain it. You don't need to try prove that you deserve it. God has already given you his love. So before we close tonight, I want to ask everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you were sitting here tonight, and we've spoken a lot about God's love and the love he has for you, and it doesn't matter if you think you deserve it or not. It doesn't matter if you've run away from it before and you don't know how to come back. Tonight, I want to tell you that his love is for you. His love is for every single one of us. So if you're sitting here tonight saying, actually, God, I need that love. I've never experienced it before, or I may have run away from it before, Jesus, but I need your love tonight. I need you in my life. I want to ask you to raise your hands. If that is you tonight, I want you to lift your hands. God, I just thank you for every person who's had the courage to raise their hands tonight, Jesus. And I pray, God, may your love completely overwhelm their lives, Jesus. I thank you, God, that it's your grace that brings us through, God, that it doesn't matter what past we're coming out of, it doesn't matter what our life may look like or what a mess we may feel like, God, that your love can completely shift our lives, Jesus. Your love can transform us. So tonight, God, every single person in this place, God, I pray, God, may we know your love, may we know how real it is and how true it is to each and every one of us, God. May our relationship with you become so much about being, and may our doing overflow out of that, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. So if you raised your hands tonight, I just want to encourage you to fill out a connection card, which is in the pouch in front of you in the chair, and just pop it in the offering bag when it comes around just before the end of the service. But we do want to encourage you to fill it out. We would love to give you a call and chat about your next steps.